So how's this whole stay-at-home thing going? We hear a lot about parents having to craft whole new relationships with their kids, but how about with each other? Is this a chance to take up couples' decoupage together? Or have pressures from unemployment and close quarters revealed loose planks in your carefully constructed relationship through which you are falling? Well, hold on. Renowned international couples therapist Esther Perel is here, the Belgian-born best-selling author and host of the insanely popular podcast series Where Should We Begin, has now added a four-part YouTube series and a new podcast, Couples Under Lockdown. These aren't patients, but people who volunteer, beg for an anonymous session with her, and we listen in. We'll link you to our past conversation about life after adultery, but today, is there life after lockdown, with Esther Perel, who joins us by Skype from New York. And Esther, you say a crisis like this one is a relationship accelerator. Start there.
We're living with a sense of mortality that is hovering over us, not just in terms of the physical lives, but the loss of the worlds that we have known. And when you feel that life is short, you kind of say, what am I waiting for? And it throws the superfluous overboard and you say, let's have babies, let's be together, let's get married. Or you say, life is short, I've been waiting long enough. And then you say, open the door and let me out of here. We've always said more divorces, more babies in pandemics, in disaster periods. And this is one of those.
Your first podcast reminds us that stay at home, you know, is probably revealing or making more painful infidelities. It's about a couple in New York City. They filed for divorce right before the pandemic. The wife grieving the marriage, the husband wants to be with his girlfriend. Tensions are high. Let's listen to the wife.
Like 2 weeks ago, I had to get a pediatrician, child therapist, everybody to explain to him why seeing his girlfriend during COVID was not appropriate or safe for the girls.
Esther, this is extreme. But how do you stop yourself from saying to a guy who wants to see his girlfriend in the middle of a pandemic, don't be a jerk?
I actually said it slightly different. I assumed the man is a smart man who knows what is right. So I say to him, if you could, you would want to see her. That's a given. I get that. This is about duty rather than desire. And I respect that. That's what I say to him in a nutshell, you know.
So you're a better person than most.
It's a both and, you know. I mean, the wife tells him you're a jerk. I'm not there to say that. What I know is that he understands that he has three daughters at home. And in this moment, it is probably wise to be there with them. But I can give him both so that he doesn't have to counter me by keeping the other side secret. I've made it explicit. We know that if you could, this is where you would be. And we know that you've decided to act differently.
There's a couple you counsel in Germany. They've lived apart for work for the last year. Now they're suddenly forced together, can't even leave the house, not sure of where they want to go. You call out the couple. Here you are counseling the wife.
I think that on some level, you know that you acted in a way that was hurtful to him. And you're scared that you're going to lose him because there's a part of you that thinks, I didn't act right. But then when he actually does tell you how much he cares, you're so convinced now that he doesn't anymore, that you don't even hear it.
This seems so, probably will be familiar to people. Their goal is the same. They want to be in love, but they are talking past each other.
Right, right. So the couple's under lockdown. I'm literally, through Zoom, entering their homes, their closets. In the Sicilian case, they literally had to be in a closet in order to be have some space away from their three young children. And it has a level of intimacy and revelation. This couple, he feeling abandoned that she went to Germany for this dream job, and she feeling abandoned that he didn't follow. And lo and behold, it's the virus that makes the decision for them. He appeared at her house in Germany. And in fact, they are really getting along a lot better. But when you have hurt someone, you want to be forgiven, but there's a part of you that doesn't know if you deserve it. And so you enter into this position that says, you know, reassure me, but I don't believe you. But make me believe you because I really want to. And when he says to her, you know, I wanted to cook for you. And he's actually saying, I care. I want to be with you. She hears him say to her, what you did was wrong. And that's the adjustment that needs to be made in that moment, is listen to what is being said rather than listen for the confirmation of your assumption. In the midst of crisis, couples will often go to periods of destruction and then a repair. And this reconnection demands trust, vulnerable to what the other person is inviting, rather than defending yourself, expecting the worst, like a confirmation bias. And it's a very common thing. But what happens is that because they're in lockdown, everything is intensified. The couples who really get strengthened here are able to continuously say, I'm so appreciative that I'm going through this with you. And it's your personality that makes me feel safe, looked after, not alone, and stronger when they are confined and basically separated from many of the other resources of support that they usually turn to.
Yeah. Or the ability to just walk out the door and occupy themselves with something else.
Yes. Many. A couple has a rhythm. That means that you leave, you go to work, you go to see friends. This is what is missing at this moment.
I have to ask you about the couple in Italy. It broke my heart in some places. You tease out from the woman who's a nurse who's treating COVID patients that she is holding on to anger at her husband, who's staying at home taking care of the kids during a lockdown. She sees in him a father who wasn't kind. He feels like he can't do anything right. You nudge them along. Let's listen.
What's the one thing that you've been wanting to say to her?
The one thing that I want to say to you, I miss you. Yeah, I miss you. I miss you. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't just say I miss you and then you come back suddenly. But I miss you. And I want you. I want to be with you.
In silence, because she's just, it doesn't seem ready. But, you know, you say something else, Esther, in this that it made me sit up. You say to this couple, your kids are watching you. They learn their relational code from you. And that's happening under lockdown more than ever. What do you mean by that?
Let me put it this way. Sometimes when couples come to my office, I learned this from my dear colleague, Hedy Schleifer. I ask people to bring pictures of their children. And I just say, here are your kids. They're watching you. Everything you're doing to each other is what they are learning. This idea that, you know, you have a responsibility beyond yourself about this is very humbling to people. Because when you fight, you often feel deserving, you feel entitled, you feel justified, you know, you're not humble necessarily. So the presence of your children who are watching you humbles you. You know, there's a concept called invisible divorce from Megan Fleming. And this couple, in a way, was living with that. They were separated, disconnected inside their own families. COVID changes the balance of interdependence between them. They're in a small flat. It's Sicily. It's in the middle of the epicenter of that moment. And death is hovering all around. And you then begin to deal with the symbolic deaths that have taken place in your relationship. And now you have to decide, is it just going to disappear? Or are we going to fight to reconnect with each other? Because it is that connection, that sense of aliveness, that erotic force that is going to be the antidote to death.
Yeah. Esther Perel, for the couple that's just annoyed with each other or, you know, finding it hard, just some tips.
For me, kindness will go a long way. Try to look at what people are doing that is nice, that is kind, that you can comment upon, that you can be appreciative of, rather than going around with a flashlight for the wrong, for the missing, for the criticisms. When you want something, ask for it rather than making a critique about what the other person hasn't done. Make a request rather than a protest. If you can, when you talk about something that you disagree with, keep it to one thing and don't start kitchen sinking and pour all the issues into the same bucket, and including the ones from 5 years ago. It's so easy to complain about how the other person is dealing with it. You're going out, you went to the park. This constant negotiation, which is very much normal and in the nature of the beast, also creates enormous empathic distress, moments of complete fragmentation where people, instead of turning toward each other, are turning against each other. Those things will help. Put your hands on each other, give each other a hug, because there's nothing more to say. It's just let the body speak. Because when you talk, you go all rational and statistics. And when you hold, you are so tender and caring. And we are at this moment very touch hungry. That physical reassuring hand that grounds us rather than let people just yak away. Allow yourself to celebrate. Allow yourself to experience pleasure. Allow yourself to be intimate sexually. You know, we are still alive, those of us who are, to close ourselves off of any of the things that actually will ground us, will make us feel safe, is actually a disadvantage rather than a resource.
Hmm. Esther Perel. Esther, thank you as always.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
And we will link you to everything, including Esther's new YouTube series. It starts with Loneliness Under Lockdown. And, of course, the podcast, Couples Under Lockdown, everything at hereandnow.org.